Call to order the City Council meeting of Monday, May the 22nd, 2017, at 6 p.m. If you could call for a moment of silence, please. Stand for the Pledge of Allegiance. Okay, can we have a roll call, please?
Charlie Hawkins.
Here.
Dennis Olison.
Here.
Bonnie Onion.
Here.
Harry Robinson.
Here.
Steve Lawrenson.
Here.
Mary Lou Stewart and Paul Greeno have both requested to be excused tonight.
I'll entertain a motion for Paul.
So moved.
Second.
All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, say nay. Hearing none, the motion is carried 5-0. I'll entertain a motion for Mary Lou Stewart.
So moved.
Second.
The motion has been made and seconded. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, say nay. Hearing none, the motion is carried 5-0. The next item on our agenda is awards and recognitions. I'd like to call Van Tapp forward, please. And I'm going to put this here for a second. Okay.
I am good.
This is a recognition for Van Tapp. Can you hear me now? Yeah, this is a recognition for Van Tapp. On behalf of the City of Blaine, I express my sincere appreciation to Van Tapp for his service on the Blaine Planning Commission. Van served on the commission from 2010 to 2016, and during part of that time, he served as the commission chairperson. In the spirit of public service, Van gave generously of his time attending many meetings and donating hours of time for searching and preparing for those meetings. During his time on the commission, Van played a key role in the update of the city's comprehensive plan and numerous other plans and regulations. Van helped review many high-profile development projects and always acted in the best interest of the community. His insight on public issues and his thoughtful decisions making helped to improve the community. Thank you on behalf of the City Council and all of the citizens of Blaine for all that you've done, Van.
Thank you.
This one here, which is a letter and a certificate of appreciation.
Very nice.
Thank you very much. Is there anything you'd like to say?
I guess what I can say is I'm glad I don't have to do all the readings anymore. But no, I enjoyed my time on the Planning Commission, 6 years, almost 6 years, I guess it was, and tried to do a good job, and I think we did a good job, you know, the commission as a whole during that period. We had some challenging meetings, and we got through those. So thank you very much, Mayor.
Builder Award. Okay, very good. This is Carol, second Blaine Builder Award. Receiving her first award over 10 years ago for her work at the Visitor Center, as well as serving many years on the Blaine Chamber Board. She is well deserving of the second award for her continuing commitment for over another 10 years of service. Carol first volunteered for the Skywater Festival in 1996. Shortly after, she began volunteering at the Blaine Visitor Center. She accepted a part-time paid position at the Visitor Center and began working full-time when she replaced Ann Cornhead. At the VIC manager in 2000. Her position has been modified over the years due to the economic ups and downs, but she has remained at the VIC center for over 20 years. She was invited about 10 years ago to be the president of the Blaine Chamber. She refused being president, but has served as secretary of the board for the last 10 years. In addition to her position on the board as secretary, Carol has continued to volunteer and organize Blaine events. When Skywater was moved to the 4th of July in 2001, Carol and Pam Christensen worked to establish the old-fashioned 4th of July to become one of the largest events in Blaine, celebrating the 16th year of July the 4th. After 20 years, Carol still works tirelessly in several events, as well as your chamber responsibilities of serving as president of the Friends of the Board of London. On May 18th, at the annual Taste of Tourism, Carol was recognized by Bellingham Watson County Tourism with their first annual Tourism All-Star Award. She was chosen for the award of city nominees. The community of Blaine nominated Carol for this award. The CEO of Bellingham Watson Tourism, Sandy Ward, after reading the many comments for her nomination, said, "Carol is universally loved." Here are just a couple of the comments out of the many we received. I would like to nominate Carol Simon to receive this award. She has done so much for the city of Blaine and the Blaine Chamber, well above and beyond the responsibilities expected. Her involvement with the community events, hours spent at the VIC training, providing information, and managing the chamber office are vital to our operation. She's a wonderful member who contributes so much. Truly, she is a great Kimberly, when you visit Blaine, what do you normally see? She's involved in every event in our beautiful city, always with a warm smile and genuine conversation with visitors. On Saturday, marketing days are coordinated by Carol and are all the events of our city. This is a wonderful, caring, and marvelous lady who has a perfect personality and proactive attitude, bringing visitors to Blaine for a day, watching County. Communicate to people all over the U.S. and D.C. during our Wings Over Water Festival and our Jazz Festival. David, Wings Over Water, volunteer. Carol, thank you for over 20 years of serving life, as well as your recent recognition as the recipient of the Bellingham Watson County Tourism All-Star Award. Your efforts are creating a better Blaine for now. I'll just use this. This is a Blaine Builder Award for Christy and Rodney Lundquist. If you could come forward. Just you?
Yeah.
Okay.
But I'm representing both guys.
I'm going to have you hold this for me. Okay. Christy and Rodney Lundquist have been in Blaine for over 20 years. Around 11 years ago, they renovated the interior of the building at the corner of 8th Street and Peace Portal, creating the Northern Meadows Wine and Gift Shop, which Christy ran for several years until the downturn in the economy. During the time the store was open, Christy became involved in downtown by starting a downtown business group. She also organized a downtown boardwalk festival on Peace Portal Drive and a scarecrow store front display contest to encourage people to shop in downtown Blaine. Christy received a Blaine Builder Award in 2006 for her downtown revitalization efforts. She also assisted Bruce Wolf with raising funds for the vigil sculpture by selling and ordering personalized engraved bricks and bronze plaques from her store. Last year, Christy and Rodney began their second business venture downtown when they purchased the Pastime Bar, with a vision to create a high-quality family restaurant while maintaining the local flavor of the original bar, renaming it the Pastime Bar and Eatery. They remodeled the building to add a full kitchen and a comfy family dining area, serving high-quality pub fare and seafood featuring local ingredients as much as possible. Rodney, as electrician by trade, along with some background as a cook, took six months off from his contracting business to renovate the building, as well as to perfecting the menu. The Lundquists believe in supporting the community through their business, and right at the start of their project, they raised $3,500 for the Blaine Boys and Girls Club through a fundraising, selling some of the Pastimes memorabilia. They also had some other benefits and fundraisers at their restaurant since they have been open. The restaurant also serves the community as a venue for live music, having concerts to support the Pacific Performing Arts Association as well as other local musicians. Christy and Rodney are excited to have completed this first phase of construction on their restaurant in order to take a break before beginning the next phase of their renovation plans. They say it is an ever-changing work in progress. They are pleased with the support the community has given them at the restaurant. Thank you, Christy and Rodney, on behalf of the Blaine City Council and the citizens, for your efforts and investment to create a business downtown that serves the community as well as our visitors, building a better downtown Blaine both now and for the future. We wish you much success. Proclamation, which reads, whereas an average 650 people die each year in boating-related accidents in the United States, approximately 75% of these are fatalities caused by drowning, and whereas the vast majority of these accidents are caused by human error or poor judgment and not by the boat, equipment, or environmental factors, and whereas a significant number of boaters who lose their lives by drowning each year would be alive today had they worn their life jackets. And whereas today's life jackets are more comfortable and attractive than styles of years past. Now, therefore, be it resolved that I, Harry Robinson, Mayor of the City of Blaine, Washington, hereby support the goals of the North American Safe Voting Campaign, Wear It, and the United States Power Squadron, and proclaim the week of May the 20th through May the 26th, 2017, as the National Safe Voting Week in the City of Blaine, Washington, and the start of the year-round effort to promote safe voting. I witness thereof, therefore, I urge all who vote to wear it and practice safe voting habits. Signed this 22nd day of May 2017. Okay, we have audience participation. We haven't had anyone sign up this evening, but is there anyone that would like to address the council at this time? Seeing none, I'll go on to the next item on our agenda, which is written communications. And do we have any, Sherry?
We received an email dated May 9th from Chief Haslip regarding a bear sighting, an email dated May 17th from Michael Jones regarding Governor Inslee's veto of the Exit 274 project, an email dated May 19th from Debbie Harger regarding the Blaine Harbor Art Gallery Spring Fest Art Show, and an email dated May 19th from Bill Becht regarding stop signs.
Next on the agenda will be the Fire Chief's report. Chief Hollander.
There we go. Working now?
So far, so good.
So I'm sharing with you tonight our April Chief's Report. Just want to cover a couple of highlights. You can see we're at 1,262 calls for the year, which is almost par for where we were last year. 67 responses in the city of Blaine itself and 5 responses out to Semiahmoo. Point out that we did have a mock DUI drill with the Blaine High School. We tried to do that with a different high school each year in our area. So this was Blaine's year. So we did a drunk driving scenario and had all the students out there and did the whole live presentation for them in hopes that that makes them realize that drinking is a bad thing. We've also unfortunately had recently some fires in Blaine. Beachwalker Condos had one on the porch on the second floor. It was done by construction. They were putting down some rubber matting to underneath the floor. They were heating the corner, and the contractor walked away for a minute, and that's all it took for those flames to go right up to the third floor. So luckily we can find that one to the porch. And then at the last meeting, I mentioned the Justinson's one we had on U Street, and that ended up just being severe smoke damage. And I think the only other thing I wanted to mention was under our Facebook likes. We were at 1,558 the last 28 days, but we are now in the process of hiring 3 new firefighters, and we've advertised pretty much all in the western United States. And so miraculously, our Facebook has lit up and 4 or 5 times as many likes as we've ever had before. But it's primarily due to people looking at our site and investigating whether they want to come to work for us. And then I did add a graph that we're about 50-50 for women and men. Just kind of a statistic, interesting statistic for looking at our Facebook site. So with that, I can answer any questions you might have.
Questions for Henry?
How do you know whether they're men or women looking at it?
It's Facebook does it through analytics.
Oh.
There's a whole analytic report you can get from the geography to the race to where they live to languages they speak. Yeah, there's just dozens and dozens of reports you can get.
You can't tell by first names always.
Well, I'm assuming they have a way of knowing when you log in, if you filled in all the information at the beginning, that's where they would pull it from.
Okay.
Yeah, when you open your Facebook account.
I don't remember having to tell if I was a woman or a man on Facebook.
A lot of people don't put their real age in there either.
I guess that's true.
39.
Okay, the next item on our agenda is our consent agenda. We have approval of bills in the amount of $162,839.79. Approval of a special council minutes for May the 8th, 2017. Approval of council minutes for May the 8th, 2017. A bid award for three-phase transformers. And a bid award for single-phase transformers.
So move.
The motion has been made.
Second.
And seconded. Are there questions or comments regarding the consent agenda? Hearing none, I'll call for the vote. All in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed say nay. Hearing no nays, the motion is carried 5-0. Next item on our agenda is going to be council action items. The first action item is Resolution 1710-10, setting public hearing for vacation petition, Clyde Street between Madison and Kingsley. And Raven, you're going to address that one.
So, Council, I'm bringing this vacation petition back to you. We brought this originally to you the end of last year, December 12. At that time, city staff did not have any kind of concept of what the developer was proposing or what the petitioner, was proposing. And Council gave it back to Public Works to work with the applicant on their development proposal. Since that time, we've had a pre-application meeting and have met with him and his team several times to further articulate their proposal, and they have had then an opportunity to address Public Works concerns. So I, instead of just starting over, I just wanted to highlight some of the updates to my previous staff report. I realize I can be mobile and do this. So first, the first item that changed is that what relating to criteria number two, whether the right-of-way is needed or contemplated for future public use. So the updated version of that is that the development proposal would require replacement and looping of the water main as it is dramatically undersized and it's currently located under the existing pavement. In addition, the power facilities would need to be relocated underground. And then finally, a utility easement would be required to retain the ability to maintain these facilities. The second part of that, if the update is that the development proposal, this was relating to the fact that the street was so far constructed so far on the south side of the right-of-way, which is what they were trying to vacate. The update is that as part of the development proposal, they would be doing road improvements on Madison, Clyde, and Peace Portal, and that the roadway center line that they propose on Clyde would be shifting the road by the 8.5 feet back to the north side, and then they would be required off-site to actually transition the road so that it aligns in the proper alignment. And then the last update is relating to whether or not the request for vacation was initiated to correct a condition created by the applicant. And the update on that is that the development proposal requesting the street vacation is so that they can increase the number of units on their site. In a sense, that is a condition created by the applicant, but they are also proposing to mitigate that with the improvements that I've outlined. And they are certainly not in any violation of a city ordinance in trying to develop their property. So we've revised our recommendation to bring this forward for a public hearing, and we're requesting that you do so via Resolution 1710-17, which is attached in your packet. And we would propose that the next city council meeting on June 12th, that a public hearing be held for the project. And I'm here to answer any questions. I did also put a picture of the site plan up behind you or to your sides, whichever, if it helps delineate some of the things that I've mentioned in my staff report.
Questions for Raven? Bonnie?
Okay, so they're going to improve a portion of Clyde and Madison and Peace Portal. So on Madison and Clyde, are they required to put sidewalks on one side?
On Madison, they'd be on the east side, so they would be putting in sidewalks. On Clyde, in the residential streets, we only require sidewalk on the north side, so they would be putting in curb. But their design here is actually showing, you can kind of see the hatched line on the very, well, it's not the very north. If I can use the mouse here, this hatched area is where a future sidewalk would be located, and they're demonstrating that it could be located within the existing right-of-way.
And how wide of a roadway are they required to
The roadway section is a 28-foot section. And they would be building what's called a three-quarter street, so they don't build the whole 28-foot section. They build the 14-foot on that on their side with the curb, and then on the north side they'll be, like I said, essentially rebuilding Clyde because they need to. They're moving it 8 by 8.5 feet, but in any event, they'd be paving 10 of those feet, and then it would have a gravel shoulder.
Okay, so the total width would be 28, though.
The total planned width will be 28.
But there's still an 80-foot right-of-way.
Well, when they're done, there'll be 60 feet with 40 feet on the north side and 20 feet remaining on the south side. Okay. That does remain a concern of ours. Having the right-of-way shifted one side more than the other is not our preference, but we figure they have met the criteria to bring this to a public hearing, and we can further discuss it at that time.
Other questions for Raven?
Yeah,
Dennis.
Raven, was there any other parts or pieces of this that had been vacated prior?
No, sir. Not that we were able to find.
Not along Madison.
I don't think so. If they are, they're significantly away from here. I can do a quick peek at our vacation map, though. We usually look for contiguous or adjacent vacations, but I didn't look super far away.
I know this public hearing is for the vacation specifically, but do you know if these are going to be condos that are sold, or apartments, or all the same size, or a variety of
We're not supposed to get too involved in the land use elements here, but I'll...
I can speak to that, but mostly to repeat what Raven said. This is a this is a resolution to consider setting a public hearing, mm-hmm. and the public hearing, which will happen in about 3 weeks, will be regarding the request to vacate. The applicant has presented a proposal to build multifamily. The city is not involved in the decision as to whether or not to condominiumize those. We approve a use, and the use is multifamily housing. So we don't know.
Do we have to approve their plan, though?
Pardon me?
Do we have to approve their plan, or can they pretty much, within a certain density, do as they see fit?
Well, it's a conditional use permit, so they need to come forward for that, and that gives us a little bit of additional oversight. And then we approve, we have oversight to approve or deny all permits. So we would approve that. There aren't design standards in this neighborhood, so we're not reviewing that, but things like construction and the International Building Code, Fire Code, all those things, the parking and site plan, we do review all of that. So condominiums or not, that's not a question that we know the answer to. It's not a topic that we can regulate by law, and we will be regulating the design of the structures.
Well, whichever it is, it's housing that's needed. I'm glad to see.
Yeah, quite a bit.
The project goes through. Mm-hmm. for them.
And a nice replacement of what's on the site today with something new and millions of dollars of investment in the community.
Yeah.
Raven, can I assume that when you bring this back to us at the public hearing that you will have a recommendation?
Yes, sir. And in answer to Mr. Ellison's question, it does look like there's a vacation on Madison. I'll have to look into that a little more, and I'll report back on that. As you can see.
Yes, you certainly made sense.
Raina, will Kingsley Avenue be open?
No. Yeah, so we're not proposing a change in Kingsley Avenue just because that ship's kind of sailed in terms of the access to the park and the nature of that particular street.
And the other part is, if the street is rebuilt in that section in front of the development, will it extend with the same lines clear to Baby?
Not quite. So the water main will be extending almost all the way to Bayview where it currently ends. And then the realignment that they're proposing on Clyde Street by 8.5 feet will result in a taper that'll occur between Bayview and Kingsley on Clyde. But the south line of Clyde will continue. So the south alignment, they're kind of holding, proposing to hold the south alignment of Clyde, and eventually when the north side is developed, the whole thing can be relocated. But it's flat enough that we're not concerned about having a transitional taper in the road.
I have one other question. Is there access from Peace Portal into the development?
I can't remember that.
So, I again want to point out this is considering a resolution to have a public hearing. This isn't the public hearing, and the development is not on the table even in that public hearing, which will happen in 3 weeks. The development is subject to a different process that goes through the Planning Commission and is an administrative review as well. So, the answer to the question, though, is no. Except for pedestrian access, there won't be a driveway on Peace Portal. But again, that's not the topic of tonight's consideration, so I would ask you to be careful about getting too much involved in reviewing or approving the project, because actually you don't have that authority.
Well, I just had a problem with the map. I couldn't see where these entrances or exits were.
Okay, staff recommends the City Council adopt resolution number 1710-17. Fixing the time for a public hearing on the petition to vacate certain rights of way south of Clyde Street between Madison and Kingsley Avenues to further evaluate the application.
So moved.
Motion has been made.
Second it.
Motion has been made and seconded. Are there any further comments or questions? Hearing none, I'll call for the vote. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed say nay.
Nay.
Okay, motion is carried 4-1. And Mr. Erickson. Mr. Olson is the nay. Got it? Okay, next item on our agenda is a council action item, a request for final plat approval for Mountain Estates. And Alex, are you going to lead us through that one?
I am, sir. Just one moment while we get the PowerPoint up and running here. Just be a couple more seconds. All right, the plat of Mountain Estates. I'll take you through the application here. See. So the applicant, Mountain Estates Builders, is here this evening, and I just wanted to take a moment to point out that they've actually been very active in the city of Blaine. They've They've purchased a number of derelict buildings recently, torn them down, and have built nice new single-family homes on them. So Mr. and Mrs. Imperial have done a great job on that. I just wanted to give a little credit where credit is due. And coming back to the application, this is a preliminary plat that was approved by council 16 months ago to the day. So they've done also a great job of bringing the project forward through the construction process and getting it to the end of the road here. So it's an 18-lot subdivision. There'll be a new city street, Whitetail Loop. It did go through a plat variant, so it's a reduced in width right-of-way, so it'll be 40 feet with two 10-foot easements on either side. And let's take another look at the project here. So you can see it goes in, there's that loop road, that's Whitetail. D Street is down at the bottom of the screen. There's 16 units that front off Whitetail Loop and two more off of 16th Street on the far left-hand side of your screen. So the project is all constructed. This is what it looks like today. This is coming in off D Street. It's new curbs, and basically all the infrastructure has been put in. It's ready to go. This is the D Street frontage, so D Street has been widened, new curb and gutter put in, some new signage. You can see street trees there. This is over on 16th Street. So we have, they actually dedicated 10 feet of frontage across this as public right-of-way to widen the existing right-of-way out. So you can see that we have some new utilities over there and street trees and a sidewalk on 16th Street. Just a couple other shots of the subdivision here. You actually have to get some great views out to the north, northeast, and you can see some of the mountains, I think, from some of the lots. This is looking to the north, northeast. You can see we have some street lights in there. Basically, everything is installed and ready to go. This is the access to the storm pond. There's a new storm facility built back there on track day, away from the right-of-way, so that will be tucked away. You won't see that much. You can also see Lincoln Park. This is right across the street from Lincoln Park, and there's been a lot of work recently in the park with extending the sewer, totally independent from this project. But I think what we're seeing is a really East Blaine starting to take off. We're starting to see that real transformation over there, which is great. So staff is recommending approval. They've gone through the whole process. We're back at this point just for a quick check-in with council. If council approves this, we can take care of a few administrative items and record the plat, and they'll have lots to build on or sell relatively quickly. So we're recommending three conditions of approval: one, that administrative items are completed per the Public Works Director recommendation, and that administrative items are completed per the Community Development Director's recommendation. And then there's a landscape. When we originally went through this project with the Planning Commission, there was a big section of, there's about three homes that will have their backs essentially facing D Street. And so what that will turn into is people's backyards, mostly a six-foot fence across there. And so we required, at the time the Planning Commission and the City Council required, a five-foot landscaping easement on their property. But when we went out there and looked at the street when it was constructed, we felt like we didn't need that landscaping easement anymore, that there was plenty of room between the existing curb and the back of those homes to clean up that area and do some landscaping, and that the effect of having a five-foot landscaping easement across their property would basically made all those lots just a little bit smaller. And we felt that that wasn't really great for the neighborhood. So we're recommending that council replace that condition with a condition that's worded in your request for council action, that they just do a landscaping treatment to D Street right away there. So here's a picture to kind of emphasize that. If you can see, this is the property corner right here. So this is all public right away right here. And so having them set back this five more feet to put in landscaping here, when that landscaping just could just go right out here, we felt like that was just as good, if not better. In fact, we felt it was better because those lots would be a little bit bigger. So that's our recommendation. So that is the end of my presentation. I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Thank you, Alex. Any questions?
I had a question, Alex.
Dennis, go ahead.
They've got the CC&Rs listed.
And I looked at this, and on the second page, they talk about Birch Bay, located in Birch Bay.
Well, that's just a typo. We would have that corrected.
Okay.
Yeah.
You copy it for me? The other one what had to do with the ponds, and somehow there's a playground based in there someplace. This is on the page 23 it's written in on.
I don't have those in front of me. Do you have a copy I could borrow? So what I'd recommend is we can include this as part of one of the administrative items for community development services. We could do a more thorough review on these, make sure. But if you have that right now, you said page 23.
Yeah, it's marked on page 23 on it. It's written in section 30.
I would point out that the applicant put these CC&Rs together rather quickly. It wasn't a requirement of the city that they had them, but we wanted to make sure that until we got to the end, and then we wanted to make sure that they had a mechanism to maintain their own stormwater system. So they put these together rather quickly to get them to us so they could be part of the council packet and we could all see them. All right, page 23. And there, as Mr. Jones points out, there is a draft CC&R, so we'll correct
right.
This. Okay.
I guess the question, Mr. Jones, is as a council, should we be interested in what the CC&Rs say?
Well, the CC&Rs are important because they address the ownership and maintenance of the stormwater pond, so they supplement some of the city's requirements. But you don't need to worry about the details, per se, and what they are, and we won't be regulating them. One of the things is that the CC&Rs do just specify who owns and maintains the stormwater pond. There are a couple of things in the CC&Rs that need to be corrected.
Would you be reviewing it?
Yes.
Thank you.
I do see what you're referring to, though, Mr. Olson, and we'll get that corrected.
Mr. Olson, do you have any other questions?
No. If you hadn't handed me that thing, I wouldn't have had to read it either.
Now, any other questions or comments? Bonnie.
It's mentioned, I think, in your memo, the front page, something about a fence along D with landscaping in front of it.
Right.
So are the owners going to put up a fence so that it's uniform across there or not?
Well, we're not requiring a fence, and they haven't stated their intention to put up a fence, but we suspect that there will be a fence, and so because those will be people's backyards, and they'll butt out onto D Street, so I think they'll want to keep their yards separated somewhat. So to have a uniform-looking fence, and for aesthetic purposes, the Planning Commission and staff recommended that there be a little bit of a landscaping treatment on that side of the street, since that will turn into a thoroughfare and hopefully Mott's Hill Parkway someday.
Right.
And so I've spoken to the applicant about this, and they're happy to do some landscaping out front, or they're more than willing to, I should say.
And that's at the back of lots 12, 13, and 14. Lot 11, it would be their side yard. Is there plans to also shield that
so,
for the homeowner's benefit, I would think?
Yes, and they did a landscape sketch and provided that to us, and there was some landscaping on that side in front of lot 11 as well.
Oh, okay. No more questions.
Other questions or comments?
Okay, here we go. Staff recommends City Council approve the plat of Mountain Estates subject to the following conditions by passing the following motion. They also expect us to waive the second reading, correct?
That's correct. And this will be an approval right now.
Okay. So to move to approve the plat of Mountain Estates as amended by recommendation of the community director to require a landscaping in the D Street right-of-way in place of a 5-foot landscape easement on lot 12 to 14. This conditional approval is based on the report from the staff and subject to the conditions of approval contained on page 2 of the request for council action. Recommended conditions of approval are, one, prior to signing the Mylar drawing, the Public Works Director shall verify that all administrative items referenced in their letter of recommendations dated May the 15th, 2017 have been accepted as complete. Number two, prior to signing the Mylar drawing, the Community Development Director shall verify that all administrative items referenced in their letter of recommendation dated May the 16th, 2017 have been accepted as complete. Number three, add a note, the plat that reads, prior to issuance of the occupancy for lots 12 to 14, the landscaping in the D Street right-of-way shall be installed by the owner and accepted by the Community Development Service Department, Land Department, period. Landscaping shall be consistent with the Mountain Estates D Street landscaping plan.
I recommend approval.
Second.
Motion has been made and seconded. Are there any further questions or comments? Okay, that's fine. It works for me, as long as we've covered off the major points. Okay, if there are no further comments or questions, I'll call for the vote. All in favor, say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed, say nay. Hearing no nays, the motion will be carried 5-0.
Thank you.
Thank you, Alex. Okay, next item on our agenda is going to be a department reports. The first report is going to be Public Works Project Update.
Well, got some good and some bad news to report tonight, so get the bad over with. So this whole thing about 274, I'm still hemorrhaging a little bit from the news, but I just want you to know that it is staff's intent to turn this thing around and find a way to get it back on track. Working with our legislative offices and our senator, I intend to meet with the city manager. Bill Bullock and I are already, you know, looking at ways that we can turn the interchange justification report around, because we think that is truly the bit of information that, if anything, was missing in our application, which I don't think there was. But if there was more detail needed, I think that's the document where the detail will come from. So I have to thank Stephanie with the Northern Light, because she actually provided the written press releases from both Senator Erickson and Representatives Van Wermen and Abies, and it was very helpful to at least see a little bit about where they're coming from. So that's the bad news. The good news, it is Public Works Week. And while I wasn't able to get a resolution together in time, I just wanted to let you know that this is actually a national thing. Governors across the nation have adopted. It's 1 week every May, every year. And so if you see a public works employee out and about this week, stop your car and say thanks. All right? So just a brief project update on that. Other than that, we are getting good progress with the Lincoln Park Sewer. We actually met with the contractor today, and they are done with the sewer main. We're, you know, doing all the required testing and so forth, and they'll be bringing in some crushed rock making the trails look beautiful and doing some paving and some seeding, so that's exciting. You can expect in the end of June, we'll be awarding our Sweet Road project, so that's the phase of Hughes Road, if you will, that is east of Odell, but it is a completely separate project from Hughes that we were able to get some money for. We also were able to get about $46,000 from the state in emergency road repair. This is thanks to the Transportation Improvement Board, this will help us with some of the damage that we encountered this last winter, so we'll be getting out a contract for that. It is that time again where the kids are in school learning about water and conservation, and I'm in need of a judge for the poster contest, if any of you are interested.
I got nailed.
You got what?
I got nailed already.
Oh, you did, huh? Okay. So I'm just going to say it's all taken care of. Wonderful. Thank you.
Yeah.
Yeah. I know. You guys can fight over it later. Mr. Hawkins had asked at the last meeting a little bit about the marine advisory meeting. So were you seriously concerned or considering?
I talked to Alan, and they changed the meeting.
Should we be adding that so it becomes agendized?
I'll talk to Alan and see what
okay.
I don't know if they were talking about changing it just for that meeting or permanently.
Oh, okay. All right, well, let us know, because we were wondering about that. And then there was also a question about the well that was going in on the EB property. And so there is a bit of information on that. It would be required to have a 100-foot radius. It currently has no water rights. It's not currently a farm. They expect at least 300 feet of clay, and they might start drilling this week. That was the info.
What are they planning on doing? Are they just drilling a well?
Yeah, this is just an exploratory well. So that is it for my update.
Thank you, Raven. Okay, the next item is the Community Development Services, and there's two areas, Main Street Program and the Code Enforcement Report.
So regarding the Main Street Program, I put something on your desks earlier that's mostly taken off of their website and the Washington Trust for Historic Preservation's website. So I just put in a couple of paragraphs there in the beginning, but I wanted to give you a little information about what a Main Street program is. It's come up in Blaine in the past. It's a great program from everything I know about them. And it recently resurfaced in the Strategic Economic Initiative done by Mr. Beckwith and his consulting friends. The idea of having a Main Street program to move forward a variety of initiatives. So I wanted to just give you that background so you know what that is when you are asked about it or if it comes up. I also wanted to mention that I went to the Washington State Main Street conference last month. Maddie Otley from my office went as well as a volunteer, Kelly Slater, who went sort of on behalf of the chamber or in. She was sponsored by the chamber and the city to attend. She's been helping me out with trying to move a Main Street program forward. So the Main Street program would be an independent 501c3, so it's not a city entity. We can't do it by law. And honestly, some of the things that they do, we can't do logistically or politically. It really requires the downtown association or the downtown business and property owners by association to move things forward on their own. We've done a great job building new sidewalks. We've put up really nice streetlights. We put up flower baskets every year. We do a downtown cleanup. There's a lot of things that we do. And honestly, in a lot of communities, those things are done by the Downtown Association. They're done by the Main Street Program or the equivalent. To take some of the things further, it really needs another entity. So I'm hoping that with some of the energy that we're seeing now, that may occur and may come forward. It is important for you to know not only that it's an independent organization, but an independent organization like that would likely need funding. So it's entirely possible it may be a request at some point that they come to the city and say, we're trying to get this moving. How do we make that happen? They are required to have a nonprofit board of volunteers, but they are, by state law, to be recognized as a Washington State Main Street program and be eligible for certain tax credits and things. They do need an employee, a half-time employee if the population's under 5,000, a full-time employee if the population's over 5,000. And we're right on that cusp, and next month I will know which side of that cusp the state says we are on. So it's we're kind of right on the edge. It could be the sweet spot. Maybe we're under 5,000 for one more year, which would be good for initiating the organization because there's only the half-time need. There's probably a full-time need, actually. There's only a half-time requirement, two very different things. So I just wanted to let you know it's out there. It's kind of bubbling a little bit. We're working with Ray Maxson from the Chamber of Commerce and Michael Ebert also with the Chamber of Commerce to move that forward. And I see Mr. Hawkins has a question.
Based on a downtown owner, a property owner, something like that. So how does Mr. Imus use this if he owns a lot of property in the downtown area? I mean, make those people that own most of the property.
Right.
It's so important to have them on board.
Absolutely. It would be tough to do it without the Jacaranda Corporation, Brad Imus, and Kevin, and some of the other folks there. The answer to some degree is I don't know because I'm not spearheading it for a number of reasons, and one of the big reasons for that is I don't want it to be a city-led initiative because that's not what it is. And so Ray and Michael have been reaching out to different folks, and I think they've been speaking with Brad about it. It's hard for me to really see any business owner, any downtown property owners and business owners that are active and interested in seeing their property values and businesses increase, not being in support of it. There are probably some property owners that couldn't care less, but those are the property owners that you can tell from the state of their properties couldn't care less. But that's not where the Imus family has been, so I imagine that Brad would be on board as they move forward. They've talked about having Brad or Kevin be on the board of directors if possible.
Thank you.
Michael, would it include anything above the hotel or anything over in Simeon?
It probably wouldn't. So there are some pretty strict requirements on a Main Street program, setting the boundaries and those kinds of things. It would be possible, perhaps, to extend the boundaries across the bay and include Semiahmoo Spit. That would be really unusual. But maybe not out of the question. I don't know for sure. That doesn't mean that someone from the hotel couldn't serve on one of their committees, maybe not on the board. That depends on how they set up their board structure. But there are four committees that are based around those four key approaches there. And so there might be someone in the economic restructuring or in the promotion kind of committee that would be from the hotel. In fact, maybe one on each of those. Because that cooperation is obviously important, but the focus is not citywide. It's not business community-wide. The focus is on a defined downtown district. And so it can't, for a similar reason that it can't be the Chamber of Commerce, because the Chamber extends way beyond downtown, it also might not include the hotel specifically, but that doesn't mean they couldn't be an active part of it.
So how would you define downtown?
Typically what most cities do is they use the Central Business District zoning, and that's what I would recommend they do, is they would use the Central Business District zoning, which basically is I-5 down to about Martin Street. It's actually the alley south of here, so the alley that's right there. And then it gets a little more complicated as you move towards the water because it extends to the south and eventually goes as far as Boblett, maybe even Clark. But in any case, it goes south in that area. So it would be the Central Business District, including the Garden District, the Waterview Sub-District, those areas.
It leaves out the chocolate factory and the...
Right, and again, they're not downtown businesses. Yeah. They may be maybe there's a Manufacturers Association that wants to move forward, maybe there's a Blaine Economic Development Agency that wants to move forward, maybe the Chamber of Commerce wants to increase its focus on that, but it would not include those businesses. It is strictly downtown-focused, focused on a traditional Main Street setting. So it's not the answer to all ills, but it is a very proven program for revitalizing main streets. Mount Vernon is a fantastic example. They've had their program in place for 10 years. You go into downtown Mount Vernon, it's been 10 years since the recession. Those were not all good years by any means. If you go into downtown Mount Vernon these days, it's really looking pretty good. So that, I don't want to get involved in a really extensive report, but I wanted to make sure that you had some information, because I have a feeling this topic is going to be something you're asked about.
I just want to say, Michael, thank you for calling attention to it and doing what you've done so far, because I know the city will not be taking the lead, but at least creating awareness about it.
Yeah, thank
appreciate
you.
Your efforts.
Thank you. Well, there is actually a very brief and inexpensive workshop going on in Ritzville, beautiful downtown Ritzville, Washington, in September, that we may try to send some people to. It's about reviving rural downtowns. And if you've ever gotten off the freeway in Ritzville and driven past the gas station, it is very much a rural downtown in the center of Washington. But if they can do it, Blaine can certainly do it. So then the other thing I wanted to mention, the mayor asked that I give a brief enforcement update. And so this is not I don't have a PowerPoint and it doesn't have all the statistics. This is just on some of the key properties. And I keep taking my glasses off because I broke my glasses and I can either see the paper or see you. So you may have to ask for my attention. If you have a puzzled look on your face, I can't see it. So status of some different things. 1887 H Street, that's the building that used to be at the bottom of the hill there, just beyond WeQ, has been torn down. That was a required demolition, required by the hearing examiner after us bringing that, we brought that forward. Maddie, really, when I say us, that's like the royal we. It was Maddie, and brought that forward. So that is gone, and they're actually scheduled to do an inspection, Maddie and Tim, of the adjacent structure on that property to see if it needs to come down, and we'll be reporting to the hearing examiner on that. The possibility it's actually might be in good enough shape to stay. The owner doesn't intend to use it, though, so it might just be something they want to get rid of, because they have been talking with us about possibly trying to figure out some way to do a cottage development or a multifamily development on that property. So that's nice to see those cleaned up. A lot of vegetation came down before those buildings came down as well. 665, 633, and 625 Peace Portal Drive are a more complicated situation. That's the Casa Azul building block. On the 5th of this month, the city issued a notice. Tim, our planning or our building official, issued a notice for the Casa Azul property indicating that it's a dangerous structure and that it needs to be demolished. That's challenging because initially we were looking at that all as one structure, but we've received information in the preliminary engineering report that contradicts some of the engineering that we had to date from the owner of Blaine Bouquet, stating that they're independent structures, and the engineer indicating that that building can be torn down without adversely affecting Blaine Bouquet and that it is structurally independent. We're asking for supplemental information because that report is not adequate for us to move forward in that way. However, we are moving forward one way or another on the property. So we're working with the owner of Blaine Bouquet to try to get additional information. Otherwise, we have no choice but to take the other engineering report, which says it is all one structure, which would cause us to issue notices on those property owners as well. And we're also coordinating with the Jacaranda Corporation, the Imus Family Corporation, related to the last suite, 625. And Brad has been brought up to speed on it. But at this point, he's kind of got a buffer between him and the building, or the piece of the building that has the notice on it. If Blaine Bouquet is an independent structure, then clearly his is an independent structure, at least independent from the Casa Azul site. So this is not going to happen quickly, but we are moving forward. And eventually, the city will likely need to move in to tear down the Casa Azul building. I don't think the property owner would have any intention of doing that. Any questions on that? Okay. The other ones I wanted to bring to your attention are the Dobie properties, which are 481 C Street. That's a house up by the food bank. 2480 Bell Road, which is a little yellow house on Bell Road, about halfway between the two stop signs, and then the Rocky Mountain Trading Building, which some work has been done on that. Mr. Florence, I think, was involved in getting some of that done. They're in the process of having their asbestos inspections reviewed for the various properties, and then once they have clearance from Northwest Clean Air that the abatement was done, then we will be able to issue demolition permits, and we expect probably before the beginning of summer, although standing here on what feels like the first day of summer makes me question that statement, but probably within the next month or so, we expect to see some of those buildings come down or be moved. In the case of the little yellow house on Bell Road, they are indicating they intend to move that. I don't know the location, and it could be challenging because it's pinned in by things like railroad tracks and bridges over the freeway, so I'm not sure how far it's going. In any case, they are under orders for those buildings. It's taken a while on that one. We're trying to cooperate with Mr. Dobie because he's making progress. He's actually kind of exceeded some deadlines, but he continues to make progress, and so we're working on that effort. Again, we expect in a month or so that we really should see some big changes. Another property that we've been working with, which has been particularly challenging, is 1191 Garfield Avenue. It's a private home where the folks have accumulated a lot of stuff, including some old trailers, mobile home type trailers, the kind you pull behind a truck, and have a lot of stuff in those. They don't appear to have the capacity to clean up the things that need to be cleaned up there, so we've entered into a voluntary correction agreement that will allow the city to hire a contractor to do that and then to lien the property if they don't reimburse the city in a timely manner. So the property owners have signed that agreement, and we are working on a scope of work to have a contractor come in and do the cleanup on that site. It's a challenging one, but making progress. So those are some of the bigger things that are going on. This time of year gets busy for enforcement because it's when the vegetation is growing. And right now, if you haven't mowed your lawn, it's 18 inches or higher. And so we're getting to that point where people will start getting notices about that. You know, we're not the lawn police, but 18 inches is excessive. So that's where the city standards are. So you'll
at least a couple.
I know. I drive around and I see some, and so those are some of the things that will certainly come up. And then there are a number of other cases that Maddie's working on. Some things like deficient building material where people have a tarp on their roof or those kinds of things, and so she's working on that. In some of those instances, it is very difficult, and we try to go slow and be very accommodating. Because oftentimes people have a tarp on their roof because they don't have a financial alternative to a tarp on their roof. So getting a notice from the city doesn't necessarily change things very much. Any questions on any of the enforcement topics? Mid-year, like another month, a little bit, and a few days, we'll have a full report with statistics.
Michael, there's two buildings that are vacant. One is the old Mexican restaurant. And the other is old David Grant's old building with a custom.
That can.
The old Casa Azul site? Yes.
Those both buildings are both vacant. I don't know what the structural.
They've had some enforcement action on them for cleaning up. The Casa Azul had a board fell off, and so you could see an old sign that's been painted over or is gone. Some vegetation's been cleaned up. So some things have changed up there, but they continue to be vacant. They don't qualify at this point as derelict structures or nuisances. There's a big step between vacant and unkept and derelict or nuisance. There's a big step in there.
The old Mexican restaurant, probably building it, if it's not maintained, will start to fall apart.
Yeah. So and when that starts to happen, then we'll be treating it in a different way. This is one of the reasons why the idea of potentially having some, at least in some parts of the city, and that might be outside of the normal scope, but in some parts of the city, having some disincentives for vacant space. And downtown is the key place that usually happens. It usually happens in coordination with something like a Main Street organization. They help get spaces filled. We work through some sort of a disincentive or a punishment if you're vacant for too long. I mean, usually that's a long time, like a year or something. But we have spaces that have been vacant, like you just mentioned, 4 years, and it looks really bad. You get off the freeway, and even if that building were well-maintained, it's still a vacant space right there when you get off the freeway. On the flip side, if it were a great spot to do business, there'd be a business in it, right? So we have, it's tough to force stuff in, because if it's not successful, then you have another business that's not successful. So we'll
probably should have an incentive program for demolition.
That's not the craziest thing in the world, especially if something is in bad shape. It could get expensive.
Yeah.
Our demolition fees, our permit fees for demolition are very low, so we could waive our fees and people would be like, thanks, it's like buying me lunch. The cost is really in the actual work.
Yeah.
So I don't want to keep us here too long, just chatting. Okay. That's all I have. Good. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, we got council reports. Bonnie, how are you on the chamber?
I have no report for either one.
Okay. Greenow's not here. How about the Drayton Harbor Shellfish Advisory?
No report.
Okay. Dennis, how's your tour?
Senior Center, no report. Library is in the process of setting up the summer programs.
Okay. There's no report on either the Small Cities Caucus or the Washington Council of Governments. So, unless there's some changes to the calendars, or there's some unfinished business, or there's some council new business, I will adjourn the meeting.
I wanted to mention there's a fish and chips truck parking now on the port property and in their parking lot, which is, I think, currently they're going to be there Saturday and Sunday from 11 to 4 approximately. And then starting June, I think they're going to be there Thursday, Friday, Saturdays, and Sundays. Looks like I saw a picture of it. It's called Alaska Wild. And they've got fish and chips and shrimp and chips and the usual fare along those lines. And I've heard it's very good and really glad to see.
Okay, if there's no further business, I will adjourn the meeting at 7:12.